We have had a wonderful experience of worship today. The Lord has been in our midst. Last Sunday, I began a new sermon series. If you remember, if Jesus is Lord, I will walk as He walks. And if you remember, last Sunday, I called your attention to the front of the bulletin and to that set of footprints walking across the beach. And we talked about the fact that if Jesus is Lord and I walk as He walks, then there should never be footprints that are mine walking beside Him or mine walking behind Him. That always, when I'm trying my very best to follow where He leads, I should be trying to place my feet exactly where He lives, where He leads. That our challenge as disciples of Jesus Christ is to walk just as closely in His footsteps as we possibly can. And last week I talked about the call that Jesus makes on all of our lives, the most basic call of all, when He says to us, follow Me. Follow Me. And that's the call, but this morning I want to take it a step further, and I want to talk to you this morning about the choice. You see, Jesus calls us to follow Him, but He does not compel us to follow Him. He does not make us follow Him. He allows us to decide, now what am I going to do with the call of Jesus Christ? Choices. Choices. We all have choices that we're supposed to make. This morning, you've already made any number of choices, decisions that just kind of came. Some of them were probably pretty minor choices. What time am I going to get out of bed this morning? Will I brush my teeth before I go to church? I hope the answer was yes. What do I want for breakfast? Where will I go to Sunday school? What am I going to do after the service? Because you're already thinking about where's lunch coming from. Choices. Some are small choices. Some are very serious choices. Just this morning, I was standing in the front door welcoming folks as they came in. And Kimberly, you were talking about you and Mary Ashford having just been to Berry College and the fact that pretty soon that's where you're going to be, Mary Ashford. You've made a serious choice. Where am I going to go to college? When I get there, what am I going to major in? Where do I plan to go from that point forward? And then there are really serious choices. Who do I want to spend my life with? When am I ready to marry? What kind of profession am I going to follow? Serious, life-changing decisions. And then there is the most important choice of all. Who am I going to follow? Who am I going to follow? Throughout the Bible, God confronts His people with a choice. In Deuteronomy, God speaks plainly through Moses. He says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Later, Joshua would challenge those same people when he said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isaiah heard God's call to choose. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Jesus challenged a rich young ruler, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. What do all of those passages have in common? God is saying to His people, choose, 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 choose. Not choose in the dark, not choose out of ignorance, not choose without realizing what you're committing to. Choose because you know what God has promised and what God is expecting from you. Jesus calls us to a serious decision. Follow me. Nobody just happens to live like him. It is never a casual decision to walk like he walks, to literally try to follow in his footsteps calls for life-changing choices. But here's the thing. To refuse to follow is an equally life-changing decision. One decision leads to life. The other leads to death. Jesus has challenged us, follow me. And today, I want to make sure you understand how critical it is that you make the most important choice that you could ever make in your life. Why do I need to choose? Why can't I just go on the way I am? Why do I have to make a decision? You have to decide because there's some essential things going on all around you and within you, and you've got to decide, what am I going to do with this? And so in John 10:10, Jesus reminds us, you need to choose because you live in a war zone. You live in a war zone. It's interesting, just a few moments ago, Dr. Hopkins, you were talking about the prisoners coming home from Vietnam. Those people who came home who had been warriors in that place. And it was easy for them to understand, I'm in a war zone. You put somebody down into a place where bullets are flying and bombs are exploding, and they know I'm in a war zone. But the truth is, spiritually, every one of us spend our lives in a war zone. The Bible describes it in a lot of ways. It talks about darkness and light. It talks about good and evil. It talks about life and death. But the lesson is still the same. We live in a dangerous world. A world filled with sin and temptation and the potential for danger and pain. Let me tell you something. If you think you live in a benign world where everything's going to go your way and everything is controlled so that it's going to always turn out right, you are fooling yourself. We live in a war zone. Even today, as I am speaking, the summit with North Korea about denuclearizing one of the most evil nations in the world is taking place, and nobody knows where that's going to lead. But it's not just a national thing, it's a personal thing. These days, America is struggling. You turn on the news, you pay attention to what's going on, you find out we're in the midst of an opioid epidemic, as people are turning to painkillers just to kind of ease the struggles of life, to try to get into a different dimension where things are not so tough. We discover that we're living in a world in which there is suicides are on the rise. People are choosing to just check out. It's getting tough now. Not sure where to go. I think maybe it's easy for me to just go away. We live in a war zone. And none of that is surprising to the Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us we live in a world with two distinct sides. There is the Lord's way and there is Satan's way. And what the Bible says is, and there is no other way. You can't choose a middle way. You can't opt out. You can't sit on the sidelines. There are two ways. And in this world, the Bible says you have to choose a side. Jesus says, follow me. You have to decide, what am I going to do about that? Follow me. Will I go or will I stay? Will I follow his path? Will I choose my own path? Am I going to pay attention to what he's saying, or am I going to let somebody else tell me what to do? You have to choose. And when you choose a side, you recognize things are different from that point forward. The greatest strength comes to those who choose to follow Christ, who are ready to stand strong in the battle. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what I'll face, but I know this. I have chosen to follow him. The greatest loss comes to those who turn away from Christ and decide, I will not follow you. I'll go my own way. I'm not going to pay attention. But the greatest danger will always be to those who try to live in no man's land, to try to keep one foot on each side. Some of the time, I'm going to be the Lord's person. Some of the time, I'm going to be the devil's person. Some of the time, I'm going to try to divide myself. Don't deceive yourself. We live in a spiritual war zone, and you have to know, I have chosen my side. And if you're going to choose, if you're going to choose spiritually, if you're going to choose intelligently, then there's some basic things you need to remember. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to remind you of some things that are going to be absolutely, probably familiar to you. They're not going to be things that you've never heard before, but they are things you have to remember if you're going to choose. The first thing you need to remember is this. When you choose, remember that Satan hates you. Satan hates you. Remember this. There is a spiritual reality in this world. He is very personal. He is malevolent. He is wicked. He is evil. And he hates God. And because he hates God, he hates you. When he looks at you, all he thinks about is, there's a way I can hurt the Lord. If I can damage them, if I can destroy them, if I can cause them not to follow, then that hurts the heart of the Savior. And that's what I want to do. You have to remember, he hates you. I think too often we believe in the devil, but not really. You know what I mean? Do you believe that there's a Satan out there? Do you believe there's a devil? Yeah. Kinda. Don't think about it much. The truth is, we would prefer to believe we live in a spiritually neutral universe. I'll leave you alone if you leave me alone. We like to believe I can make decisions without consequences. I can make choices and I'll never have to pay for it. Recently, it's become very trendy to describe yourself as an atheist or as someone who is spiritual but not religious. I like that term. You know, that kind that says, I really am not going to make the commitment to be a believer. It's really just a way of saying, I want to live on my own terms and never face the consequences of my decision. I've decided that if I just kind of opt out, I just don't believe, then I don't have to be responsible and I will never be held accountable. And so I'll just say, I don't believe. I don't believe the way Christians believe. I believe in my own way, but I'm not going to be held accountable to it. I want to live on my own terms. Which is kind of like saying, I believe that I can run at a brick wall just as hard and as fast as I can. But if I close my eyes and deny it's there, it can't hurt me. You face the consequences of your choices. The Bible says there is an evil force in this world, and he is very real and very active. In John 10:10, Jesus describes his basic nature. He says he has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is Satan's attitude toward you? He wants to steal your heart, he wants to kill your hope, and he wants to destroy your eternal soul. Don't ever think he has any other motive where you are concerned. If you've never trusted Christ, the main thing he wants to do is keep you from becoming a believer. He will use anger. He will use doubt. He will use fear. He will use laziness. He will use self-justification. He'll use whatever weapon he has to keep you from ever making the commitment to follow Jesus. If you are a Christian, he will do whatever he has to damage your relationship with Jesus. To compromise you morally, to eliminate your influence for Christ. He will do something to try to neutralize any influence you might possibly have. And to interfere with your walk with Christ in such a way that you can't experience the blessings he has planned for you. Let me tell you something. If you don't remember anything else from this morning, remember this. The devil is actively trying to hurt you every way he can. Don't ever doubt that. You can't afford to be casual where Satan is concerned. And here's the most frightening thing about the one who hates you and wants to destroy you. We all kind of assume, you know, if I ever have an encounter with Satan, I will recognize him for who he is. There'll be a scent of brimstone. There'll be this horrible creature. I will be so repelled by him that I will know I never want to be around somebody like you. But that's not the way the Bible says he does it. The Bible calls him the deceiver. And what it says is he's going to appear to you and appeal to you and that thing that seems most attractive to you. You're not going to be repelled by him. You're going to be drawn by false promises. You're going to be attracted by wrong decisions, sinful ways. He's going to try to convince you that what he wants for you is harmless, that it leads to pleasure and excitement, that nothing bad can ever happen to you, and the whole time he's leading you to the edge of a cliff. Never doubt. He is trying to destroy you. That's why Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is destruction. You listen to yourself, you're going to end up lost. There's a second thing you need to remember as well. Not only do you need to remember that Satan hates you, you need to remember that Jesus loves you. That's the greatest word of hope you will ever hear. One of the things I love about the passage we read together this morning is that John 10:10 doesn't end with the one who hates you. It ends with Jesus. This is what Christ himself says. He says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. If Satan is scheming for your worst, Christ is planning for your best. He offers you abundant life that can only come from him. Here's what you need to know about Jesus. He wants you to live under the abundance of his blessings. How do I know that's true? He just said it. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He wants to forgive you. He wants to guide you. He wants to protect you. He wants to empower you. But here's the key. The more you trust him, the more abundantly he will bless you. The more you try to walk in his steps, the more you place yourself where he can bless you. Remember the promise of Jeremiah 29:11? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then in the next two verses, Jeremiah tells us how those blessings will come about. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When following me becomes the compelling purpose of your life, then you will find me. And I will bless you. Why will he do this? Because he loves you. How do we know he loves you? Because he died for you. When Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundantly, what he really was talking about was, I'm willing to come and become the substitute, the sacrifice for your sin, that you might experience the everlasting life that only Christ can bring. He loves you. Don't walk out of this room today saying to yourself, well, I know God loves everybody in a general kind of way, but he could never love me. Not with the baggage I'm carrying around, not with the mistakes that I've made, not with the sins I've committed, not with the ways I've gone wrong. He could never love me. Understand something. He knows you inside and out. Jesus says he knows every hair on your head. He knows you're going out and you're coming in. He knew all the days of your life before they were yet to be. And he loves you. And he wants you to experience his grace. And that leads to the third thing you need to realize. And it is simply this: you have to choose. Satan hates you. Jesus loves you. You choose who you're going to follow. You choose what voice you're going to listen to. You choose whose footsteps you're going to step into. The Bible says that you have to choose who will be your master. It says you can't have it both ways. It says you can't refuse to make a choice. You've got to choose. That's not me. That's Jesus. You choose your master, but you will have a master. James 4, 7 and 8 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You have to choose. You choose once for eternity. You choose salvation. You choose to trust Jesus. You choose to give your life to him. But then, day by day, you choose to walk the way he walks. As a believer, you choose. I will be faithful. I will be obedient. I will walk the way he walks. Every time you choose the way you'll go in your life, you do one of two things. Either you submit to God and resist the devil, or you submit to the devil and resist the Lord. Resisting the Lord leads to death. Resisting the devil leads to everlasting life. Jesus says, follow me. It's an open invitation. It's an invitation to everybody. But all of us have to choose. Where will I go? Who will I follow? Today I challenge you with all of my heart. Choose to trust Jesus. If you're here today and you're not a believer, you've never given your life to Christ, I want to invite you today, before you leave, make that choice. Make that decision. Maybe it's a decision that today you're ready to make in a public way, and you need in just a moment during an invitation to walk these aisles, to give your life to Jesus, and to live for him. Maybe you're here today as a believer, but there's some things that just need to be straightened out. If you had to say, man, I'm not walking in his footprints, but I sure want to, today may be the day you need to settle that with him. It may be that part of hearing him say, follow me, means putting your life in this church as a believer, coming to become a member of this church, to plant your life in this place, to live for Christ in this place, not because you think it's a nice place with nice people, but because that's what the Lord is telling you to do. Maybe there's another decision. Maybe there are issues you need to settle. They may be with myself and with Dr. Hutchins as he comes. There may be things you need to deal with on the altar. What would it take for you to make the choice? I will follow him. Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn.